2 weeks we have been in Jonah chapter number 1 and then Jonah chapter number 2. And now today we're going to conclude with Jonah chapter number 3. And the topic of discussion is the power of one. The power of one. Jonah chapter number 3. And we're going to read verses 1 through 10. We're going to read those alternating. So I'll read verse number 1 and you read the even verses with me. So we'll read that responsively. Jonah chapter number 3. This is the very first time you've ever gone through the book of Jonah. Your very first time. So most folks are pretty familiar with Jonah. Your first time. Amen. It's a very, very good book. I tell you, it really just depicts some human beings at times. Amen. Jonah chapter number 3. We're going to read together verses 1 through 10. Again, we're going to read responsively. I'll read the odds and you read the evens. Here we go. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not?" And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. You know, that is the epitome of revival. You find a man named Jonah who was wrong with God and rebelled against God, but got right with God, and God sent him to a nation of people to preach the Bible, the Word of God. And as a result of his revival, the town got revived. And that's why this message series titled was entitled The Power of One. All it took was one man to get revival started. All it takes is one person to get revived and get on fire for God. It takes one person to get totally yielded to God and on fire, and God will bless your ministry. God will bless your life, and God will bless others around you because you're on fire for God. And you'd be surprised what you can do. And so leading up to this day and going into next week, it is our responsibility to get along with God, make sure that we are individually revived. Why? It's the power of one. And your power comes from the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his Holy Spirit. And it's vested in God's word. And so as we utilize the Spirit's power and the word of God, recognize that you, as an individual, have power. The power of the Holy Spirit. Father, bless now the next several moments that we have. We do pray that your hand of mercy may be upon us. Lord, there may be one here today that's never been born again. Lord, I pray that that person would see they are close to the Ninevites in the respect that they need to turn from their wickedness and they need to turn to Almighty God and they need to repent of sin. They need to get the blessing of God on their life and they need to be born again, repenting of their sins, turning to Jesus Christ. Lord, it's a change of mind that leads to a change of heart that, Lord, ends with a change of direction, going in the direction of the Savior and forsaking sin. Thank you so much for those of us that are saved, and thank you for those that are already revived and those that are already on fire for God. And may they truly affect someone else for the glory of God, that they may sense a revival in their own heart and their own surroundings by those people that they touch with their life by the Holy Spirit's power. Work in our midst today. Help us to seek you working. And God, I pray when it's all said and done, we may truly see the power of one to revive. And we'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated.
Thank you.
that message and song. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. Amen. You know, I'm so glad we serve a mighty God who does not want us to rely upon our own strength, our own wisdom, our own stamina or fortitude. He wants to give it all to us. Amen. So that all the glory is his. And by the way, it all belongs to him anyway. And we praise God for that. Well, I do trust that you are ready for Pastor Bennett next week. He'll be here. Tremendous man of God, tremendous speaker. I greatly admire his preaching and admire him as a man and as a person. He's been my pastor for 9 years there in Belgium. He's been my counselor ever since. And I go to him often. Amen. So he'll be here next week. But before he gets here, I don't want us to think in any way, shape, fashion, or form that revival is contained in a man. Or a message. It never has been contained in a man or a message. It's always been in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we don't need a man and we don't need a message per se to be revived. What we need is the mighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. But sometimes God uses the man and the message to point out that we're not revived so that we can be revived. Amen. So I do trust that we are that way. Notice here in chapter number one, by way of review, the power of one to rebel and run from the will of God in verse number three. Notice what it says here. Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Now, why did Jonah flee? Because God told him to go to Nineveh, but he rebelled. And so we saw the power of one to rebel from the will of God. But then in chapter number two, we saw the power of one to repent and get right with God. Notice chapter number two in verse one. Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. And we find his prayer down there in verses 2 through 9. And then notice verse 10. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Now, that's pretty gross sounding, isn't it? He vomited him out. How many of y'all have ever vomited in your lifetime? Amen. It's a pretty gross thing, isn't it? Something that has gone down into your belly. Suddenly your body regurgitates that and takes that and sends it back up the same way it came out. And that tastes disgusting. I have never thrown up when it actually tasted good. Amen. So it's disgusting. That's what happened to Jonah. He was here in the belly of the whale and he kind of got spewed back out. Guess he made the fish sick. Isn't that what normally happens when we eat something? It didn't agree with us. And our stomach says, we don't like it, we don't want it, and get rid of it. Amen. Whether you ate too much or whether you ate something that was bad or whatever the case, your stomach says, not happening. Let's get rid of you right now. And certain things start to happen in your body that are not natural. And it begins to come up. You know how you get that watery feeling in your mouth?
Oh, yeah.
And you want to go get some crackers or something, some water. I think I'm going to throw up. Most of us know we're going to throw up. Amen. And the fish threw him up. So chapter one, we saw the power of one to rebel and run from the will of God. Chapter two, the power of one to repent and get right with God. And so now chapter three, the power of one revived to reach others. Notice what it says in verse three. So Jonah arose and did what? Went unto Nineveh. According to what? The word of the Lord. So in other words, he finally obeyed and got right with God. Your revival is of very great significance. Say, preacher, why is my revival of great significance? Because God wants to use you to reach somebody. Who does he want me to reach? I don't know, but I know he wants you to reach somebody. Why? He already said, but ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be, what's the next word? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and where? And to Samaria, and where? To the uttermost part. So I know for a fact that God wants you and I to get revived so that we can witness to somebody. The question is just who? Amen. And here's a little help. Just witness to anybody. Amen. If you witness to anybody, you'll get everybody on purpose. Amen. So that's one of those things that we're looking at here today. Once you and I get revived, the power of one to revive, we've been filled with God's power and his spirit. We can affect others for the glory of God and get them revived too. Amen. Jonah's been revived after repentance and prayer. And now in chapter number three, he's ready to go and do what he needs to do. Let me read you something that is very interesting in regards to repentance. There's mixed feelings about what really is repentance. And should we repent? And how can you tell if someone is repentant? What is repentance? It's a change of mind that leads to a change of heart that gives me a change of direction. Y'all agree with that? Amen. Repentance is a change of mind, change of heart, that is a change of direction. These two work together. By the way, the Bible still says, I've got to believe it in my mind and my heart's got to believe it as well. They work together. And they, too, change my direction. Warren Wiersbe said something interesting. He said, if we are serious about repentance, we will do everything we can to clear things up. Remorse and regret do not go far enough. There must be repentance followed by restitution. He goes on to say this about true repentance. Regret involves the mind primarily, and remorse involves the emotions. But repentance includes a change of mind, a hatred for sin, and a willingness to make things right. If the will is not touched, conviction has not gone deep enough, and repentance, true repentance, has not set in. Wow. By the way, there have been many Bible people that repented. King Saul being one. Judas Iscariot being another. Pharaoh being another. You think their repentance was true repentance? No. There was another one that repented as well. His name was the prodigal son. Bible says, and when he came to himself, he said, and he said some things, and he said, I will return and go to my father and said, I have sinned. And he goes back and gets things right with his father. And so that is true repentance. David is another one that repented when it came to the sin of Bathsheba. And guess what? He said, against thee and thee only have I done this wickedness. And he got things right. So there is true repentance and there is a remorse and there is a regret. Regret says, I'm sorry I got caught. Remorse says, I'm sorry I did it. That's not repentance. Repentance turns. Jonah here has truly repented of his sin and he's going in a direction. Now, is he going to be totally right in chapter 4? You'll see that that's not the case. But he did repent and go in the direction that he needs to go into. Now, I want us to notice several things here as we look at the power of one revived. And think of yourself in this instance as Jonah. You have been revived and God now has placed upon your heart to reach somebody. What are you going to say? How are you going to tell them? What are you going to tell them? Notice, first of all, the restored prophet in verses 1 and 2. The restored prophet. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go into Nineveh, the great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Notice in verse number 2 of chapter number 1, because the same basic phraseology is there the first time. Chapter number 1, verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. So back in chapter number 3, he says it again, arise, go into Nineveh, the great city, and preach unto the preaching that I bid thee. He said, look, I told you in chapter 1 to cry against their wickedness. I'm telling you again, go cry against their wickedness. By the way, aren't you glad that God didn't necessarily call us to cry against somebody's wickedness? He calls to cry against sin. And now sin is wickedness, but he said, look, just tell them that they're in sin. There's a punishment for their sin, but I love them. I love them. I love them. Now, can you tell people they're wicked? Yes, you can. You might not get far, but you can tell them. Jonah, after being vomited out of the fish, now has a second chance. And by the way, you and I should praise God for being a God of second chances. He gave you a second chance. He gave you a third chance. He gave you a fourth chance. He gave you a fifth chance. He gave you a sixth chance. Some of us, he's given 100 chances. Yep. Praise God that he's a God of second chances. You know that the first time we sinned, God could have just wiped us out. But he's long-suffering. He's merciful. He's kind. And he wants to give you an opportunity to get right. It says the second time the word came. Now, how many times did Jonah need? How many times do you need to tell your child to do something? How many times do we often tell our children something? Start counting your toes. Start counting your neighbor's toes. But then we look at how many times we've told our children, how many times has God told us certain things? I found the quicker that you discipline, the less you had to say it. The quicker you discipline, the less times you had to say it. Peter, that's mean. No, that's loving chastening. By the way, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourges every son. That's not popular in 2016. It's never popular. When I was born in 1963, it wasn't popular. And so you think it's more tolerable today? It's still not. But he said, you know what? The word came the second time. The restored prophet. You'd be surprised the things you and I can do for God when we're revived, restored, and ready for God's use. Notice in verse number 2, God said, the preaching that I bid thee. In other words, he said, Jonah, it's not your way, it's not their way, but it's my way. I want to give you the preaching to give them. Now, by the way, the average preacher would love to get up here and speak like Joel Osteen and just smile and tell God loves you and give you a bunch of stories and a bunch of platitudes and how good you are. And, you know, God's your best friend and all these things. God's never going to judge your sin. And tell you about my father's story, that how this thing happened over here. Just smile, smile, smile. And I'm not going to preach about sin, y'all, because y'all are just so good. I would love to get up here and say that. But that's a social gospel. That's not Bible doctrine. I'd love to get up here like Creflo Dollar and say, well, you just need to give the prosperity gospel. You know, you're not doing good because you ain't giving enough. Amen. Give some more money and give to me so I can have a bigger jet. Give to me so I have a bigger car. Give to me so I can do things. God will bless you. God will open up the windows and God will make you rich. God wants everybody to be prosperous. I'd love to get up here and tell you that, but that's not Bible doctrine. Creflo Dollar is not preaching the gospel. He's preaching a prosperity gospel. Joel Osteen is preaching a social gospel. Many Pentecostal ministries are teaching an emotional gospel. That's not Bible doctrine. And so, while I would love to get up here, I wouldn't be right with God if I did. He said, I want you to give them the preaching that I bid thee. The dangers of those biblical doctrines is that they have always been popular and they will always be popular and they will always get a multitude of followers. The word of God has always been followed by a small group. The true believer has always been a small group. Always has been. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 10. Go over there with me real quick. Show you how Israel liked to get the word of God. And Israel's no different than you and I. So when you read these words, you make sure you say, well, that's how I like it too. Isaiah chapter 30. By the way, Isaiah was a fiery preacher. Isaiah chapter 30, notice verse 8, as Isaiah is talking to them, God says, now go, write it before them in a table and note it in a book, that it may be for the time to come forever and ever. That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord. Notice what the people said, which say to the seers, see not. Notice what they said to the prophets, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. In other words, they said, oh, don't give us that hard stuff. Don't tell us about hell, fire, and damnation, brimstone, and God's judgment on my sins. Don't tell me how wicked I am. Don't tell me that my feet don't match. Don't tell me that my breath stinks. Don't tell me that I'm not right with God. Don't do any of those things. Give me smooth things. God loves you. God's never going to judge your sin. You can sin, 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 get away with it. Boy, you can keep on in your merry way and nothing bad will happen to you. You just keep on worshiping those idols. You just keep on forsaking the Sabbath. You just keep on forsaking your offerings. You don't come and do right by God. You keep on accosting your neighbor and adultery and all of these things. Keep on. It's going to be all right. Smooth things. Smooth things. Don't give us right things. Folks, we've always been that way. Nobody wants to come and hear how bad they are. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Nobody wants hellfire and brimstone. Nobody wants that. But guess what? That's the end of the road if I don't get right with God. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So I need fire and brimstone to get me where I need to be because smooth things ain't going to get me there. They're not going to get me there. But by the way, you continue to speak smooth things to your children, they will never do anything for you. You better tell them what's going to happen if they don't do right. Amen. And so they said, prophesy not unto us right things. Speak unto us smooth things. Prophesy deceit. Don't give us the truth. Give us what we want. By the way, it's never been the preacher's job to give the people what they want. No more than it's the shepherd's job to give the sheep what they want. Can I get an amen? The shepherd's got to give the sheep what he knows they need. And so the word of God is going to come out to Nineveh by a restored prophet. Jonah made a vow in chapter number 2 at the end that he would pay his vows. And so he is going to preach what God wants. But the people will say, are you going to get stoned if you say that? People are not going to like you a whole lot if you say that. People are not going to listen to you if you say that. People are going to laugh at you if you say that. They'll laugh. They're not going to listen. They're not going to like you. By the way, we're not in the popularity contest. God didn't say, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be in the popularity contest. Can you get an amen?
Amen.
We've got to say the hard things, folks. We've got to preach the hard things. Jonah made a vow, and he's going to preach. Whether he gets stoned or not, he doesn't know. Whether they will laugh, he doesn't know. Whether they will leave, he doesn't know. Whether they will listen, he doesn't know. John Henry Jowett said this, preaching that costs you nothing accomplish nothing. Let me say it again. Preaching that costs nothing accomplishes nothing. You think of some of the great men of God that have preached the word of God down through the ages. They have always had bad things happen to them. Why? People don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear that preacher. I'll be honest with you. When I got saved, the day I got saved, I was so mad at that preacher. I was so mad. I said, how dare he call me a sinner? How dare he say I'm wicked? How dare he say I didn't give enough money? How dare he say these things? But you know what? He was right. You know what I said at the end of the service? The same thing a lot of you said. I'm not going back there next week. I'm not going back to listen to somebody tell me how bad off I am. I know how bad I am, and we really don't know how bad off we are. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. We really don't know. We need preaching to tell us that. Amen. Y'all look at me like, no, we don't. We'll find it out all by ourselves. No, you won't. You can convince yourself that you're the best person in the world. Amen. I'm not saying you're the worst. Amen. But I am saying you're a sinner saved by grace. Amen. If you're saved. Amen. How many times have we vowed and not paid up when we were in danger? Jonah's restored and he's recommissioned to go to Nineveh and preach what God tells them. The restored prophet, but also in verse number 3 and 4, we see the raw preaching that he gives. The raw preaching. Ironically, Jonah is not sent to preach about God's love. He's not sent to preach about God's forgiveness. He's not preaching God's long suffering, God's mercy, God's loving kindness, God's omnipotence, or even God being the God of second chances, as Jonah well knew. He is coming to preach judgment. He said, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. He didn't say God loves you. He didn't say God will forgive you. He didn't say that God's going to pardon you. He didn't say any of that. He said, you're going to get overthrown. He gave them no other ultimatum. Now, given the circumstances, how would you respond? If you got the message that God's going to overthrow you tomorrow, how would you respond? God's going to overthrow you tomorrow. I'm not telling you about God's love. I'm telling you about his judgment. Jonah was not sent to tell them how much God loved them. Aren't you glad we're New Testament? Jonah was sent to preach judgment and nothing else. The raw preaching that he had. By the way, the convincing raw preaching came by God's message. He said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the clock began to tick the minute Jonah came into town. And the minute Jonah started preaching, the clock began to tick down. 40 days, 39 days, 38, 37, 36. And the Bible says it's 3 days journey just getting into the city, according to verse number 3. Amen. Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh. According to the word of the Lord, now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days journey. It took him 3 days to get there. But it says, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, then it's going to be overthrown. So as soon as he hit the city limits, hey, 40 days, then it's going to be overthrown. 40 days, then it's going to be overthrown. I'm not preaching anything else. 40 days. What does that mean, preacher? 40 days, then it's going to be overthrown. How can we? 40 days, then it's going to be overthrown. What about my 40 days, then it's going to be overthrown? What about my 40 days, then it's going to be overthrown? 40 days, 40 days. That's all he said. Don't preach anything but what I tell you. You just let them know, I'm going to overthrow them. Now, he already told them why in chapter number 1. Wickedness. Wickedness. But you don't hear Jonah going in there saying,
Well, God's going to overthrow it because you're into pornography. You know, God's going to overthrow you because you're into lying. And God's going to overthrow you because you're disobedient to your parents. God's going to overthrow you because you're slothful in your job. God's going to overthrow you because you forgot the Sabbath. Remember, these are heathens. They know nothing about God's commands. But guess what? Everybody knows about wickedness. Everybody knows about wickedness. 40 days was the message. By the way, the raw preaching, the convincing raw preaching came by God's message. All he said was 40 days and Nineveh is going to be overthrown. Now, he might have said more things, but the Bible doesn't tell us. And it's amazing how people will probe their life for sin when they get the message of death or when in danger. I remember when I was 18 years old, my hair had just fallen out. My dad gave me a haircut and cut all my hair off, and I had all these spots on my head. And I thought, I'm gonna die. I looked in the mirror. I said, I must have a horrible disease. First, my hair is going to go. Then my skin's going to go. I'm going to be a skeleton. I'm going to die. And I started searching my life. Lord, I wasn't even saved. I wasn't even saved. And I started saying, God, what did I do? Why did I deserve this? Why did my hair fall out? What kind of disease do I have? I'm going to the doctor tomorrow to find out what I got. I got something because this is not normal. The sins of death I saw. The sins of doom I saw. The sins of disaster I saw. And despair was on my life. And I said, God, look, my hair. And I'm glad I wasn't one of these vain people like Absalom. Amen. In the Bible, had his long hair pulled, amen. But I'm like, Lord, I can be bald. I'm all right with that. It's not in style yet, amen. When Michael Jordan came, it got in style. But back when I was bald, it wasn't in style. Nobody was bald but Kojak. He's the only one that was bald. Telly Savalas. I mean, he had his lollipop. That's all I needed. I was a black Kojak, amen. Isaac Hayes. There wasn't many blacks that were bald, amen. They all had afros back in the 70s. Amen. I didn't have an afro. I had a half-ro, and then that half-ro that I had left me, amen. And I thought, I don't even have an afro. I had a half-fro, and that half-fro left me. Now I got no fro. God, what is this? I'm dying. There's a death sentence. There's doom. I'm in despair. This devastating. God, why? And I'm not even saved. What am I talking about? They knew they were wicked. Their sins didn't need to be cataloged. They knew them. Anybody that has lived any amount of time know they're not perfect. And so the average person knows deep down in their heart of hearts that sin has a price physically, it has a price spiritually, and it has a price eternally. We just like to ignore it and think we can make a deal with God. I can appease God. I can do something and God will be pleased. When I get to heaven, get to the pearly gates, I'll knock on the door. Who is this? This is your favorite. I know you've been watching me all of my life. You know, I'm 53 now, and 53, if you search those 53, probably about 48 of those were probably some good years. If you add it all up, I had about 48 good years. Now I admit those other years, they weren't, I'm not proud of those, but you being the God that you are, let's make a deal. You think God is Monty Hall? Let's make a deal. Well, I can get up there and say, what's behind door number one? Lord, give me door number two. Lord, give me door number three. No, there are no options but down the trap door. The trap door is the only door that you will have. There's no door one, no door two, no door three, no box over there, no curtain. There's only a trap door, and it's on its way down. The average person knows that. But we try to convince ourselves otherwise. Nineveh is in that boat. Romans chapter number 1 begins to catalog some of the sins of the world. Notice Romans chapter 1 with me real quick. Romans chapter 1. This is Nineveh. Romans chapter 1, picking up at verse number 19. By the way, Jonah just said, cry against their wickedness. Tell them yet 40 days and Nineveh is going to be overthrown. That's what I want you to tell them. Verse number 19 of chapter number 1 in Romans says this. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Everybody's got their conscience. Of the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Let's say it again. They are without what? excuse. They are what? Without excuse. Nineveh was out of excuses. Israel was out of excuses. Jonah was without excuse. And by the way, my friend, you and I are without excuse. They are without excuse because, this is the reason, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to the uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, reason more, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the women, burned in their lust one toward another. Homosexuality and lesbianism and transgender at its finest. Men with men, working with that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error, their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, notice that, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them as well. You talk about a catalog of sins. Now you tell me who's innocent. You tell me who's innocent. Most of us get wasted on disobedient to parents. All of us was a little child at once upon a time. Honor thy father and thy mother. We blew that one a long time ago. And we just started adding on. And so he said, cry against their wickedness. What wickedness? The wickedness we just read. Go back to Jonah. He didn't need to catalog their sins. The New Testament did. Amen. Because they were wicked. Jude 23 says, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. 1 Corinthians 1:21, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Notice the convincing raw preaching not only came by God's message, 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown, but the convincing raw preaching came by God's man. His makeup had changed by now. His looks had changed. You think about it. If you are in the belly, the gastric acids are on you. How many of you ever burned with car acid from a battery or any kind of acid at all? It hurts. It burns. Jonah has been in the belly of the whale for 3 days. And so those acids began to probably burn at his hair, burn at his hands, burn his eyes and burn him. And if you know, like I know, when you throw up, it doesn't smell good. And so the Bible doesn't say that Jonah stopped off to take a shower. The Bible doesn't say what he did to get himself cleaned up. But I can tell you this, I bet the stench was still with him. How many ever cleaned fish before? Your hands stink after you get done, don't they? They stink for a while. They smell like fish and guts. Amen. You got to go in and get some vinegar on that or something. You got to put on some cologne. You got to spray stuff all over you. Folks say, where you been fishing? I mean, the outside smells bad enough. Go on the inside. Amen. And so that which was inside came back up out. And I believe that his convincing raw preaching came by a God's man. His makeup had changed. His looks had changed. His skin was probably different. His hair was different. His clothes was probably different. His smell was different. His demeanor about was different. Everything about the way he looked was probably different. Man, where you been? You wouldn't believe it if I told you. No, I'm serious, man. Where you been? You smell. Look at your hair. Look at your clothes. I've been in the belly of a whale for 3 days. Come on, man. No, you ain't been there. No, you ain't. Nobody could survive that. I did. Look at me. Well, I know you've been somewhere because you stink. Man, natural man don't smell like that. And look at your hair. How'd you get burned up like that? Acid from the belly of the whale. Look at you. Look at your clothes. Look at your sandals, man. They're falling off your feet. 40 days. Can you imagine Jonah going into the nearest inn to get a drink of water or something? Could I go in and get the inn probably cleared out? They saw him come in. They probably said, something wrong with this guy. Something wrong with this guy. Why? His looks had changed. So the convincing came at God's message. 40 days, Nineveh was going to be overthrown. But God's man had changed as well. He looked different. I believe his manners had changed. He was urgent. He said 40 days and Nineveh was going to be overthrown. I believe he was very urgent with his message. And not only his makeup had changed, his manners had changed. I believe his motives had changed. He probably said, look at me. I've already faced God's judgment. Let me tell you, friend, you don't want to face what I faced. I will tell anybody that's involved with alcohol, you don't want to face what I faced. I'll tell anybody that's involved with drugs, you don't want to face what I faced. I'll tell anybody involved with cigarettes, you don't want the habit that I had. You don't want the liquor addiction that I had. You don't want any of those things. You talk to some people involved with pornography, they'll tell you in a heartbeat, you don't want that addiction. You don't want that addiction. They'll tell you with games. You don't want that video addiction. You don't want it. You don't want any kind of addiction. You don't want it. I've let Jonah say, look, I've been under God's judgment for the last 3 days, son, and my manners are different because my mind is made up that I am not going in that direction anymore. And I'm telling you, God's going to do to you what he did to me already. Except for you, you may not get a second chance. I got a second chance. I'm so glad God's got a second chances. And you and I are living proof. We're like Jonah. We can go to people and say, look, God saved me from that sin. God saved me from that violence. God saved me from that liquor. God saved me from those drugs. God saved me from that lifestyle. God saved me from that. And you and I can say, look, I know what it feels like. I know what it smells like. I know what it's like. Jonah's convincing raw preaching came because his makeup had changed, I believe. His manners had changed. His motives had changed. The very people that he didn't want to go to, now he is compelled to go to them because he doesn't want to go back to Wells Seminary. And so as Jonah comes in here with this raw preaching, and this convincing raw preaching was at God's message. 40 days, you're going to be overthrown. It came at God's man. Hey, his makeup, his manners, everything about him had changed because he got a second chance. By the way, every time you get revived, God's giving you a second chance. Give me another chance. He's giving you another chance to do what he told you to do the first time. Amen. Not only do we see the restored prophet, the raw preaching, but we see the repentant people. Notice verse 5. So the people of Nineveh believed God. That's all it took. We saw the man, or we saw his makeup, we saw his manners, or we saw his motives, or we saw everything about him. We talked to this man, we heard him, we're convinced this is God's message. God's going to overthrow us. By the way, when you get revived, you can convince people by the Holy Spirit's power, not your own. They were convinced, I believe, by God's message first, but it was a kind of stamped of approval by the appearance of God's man. They saw his life had changed. By the way, when you get revived, your life should change. When you get saved, your life should change. When you get right with God, everything about you says, I'm not going that way no more. I'm going this way. And people can tell. They can tell that you're not like you used to be. You're not the same way like you used to be. You're different now. I don't care how young you are, how old you are. There should be a change. There should be a change. The repentant people, the people repented by fasting and sackcloth. By the way, I think this is noble. Notice what it says. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed the fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Say, preacher, what's so amazing about that? The amazing thing about this is that they had no clue if repentance would do them any good. They never got the assurance from Jonah that if you repent, this is what God will do. They never heard from Jonah, if you don't turn, God will. They never heard from Jonah, if you turn, God won't. They never heard anything. Just Jonah said, 40 days, Nineveh's going to be overthrown. It's going to be overthrown for your wickedness. Think of the faith they must have had in Jonah's God. Because they never got assurance that if I do repent, God's going to do right. They never got assurance that God said, it's going to turn. Last time I checked, when it came to Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, lock up, out. Why? I'm going to destroy this city for their wickedness. I can't destroy it until you get out. The caveat was, if I find 10 righteous people, I won't do it. But I didn't find 10 righteous people. This is a whole town of wicked. He said, I'm going to overthrow this town. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. You guys are done. You're finished. Man, what if God did that to us? But you know, we do the same thing. We withhold the gospel from somebody because we think they're wicked. We don't think they're good enough to be saved. We don't think they deserve to be saved. We don't want them to be saved. And that was Jonah. Jonah said, I don't want them to be saved. If they get saved, then they're just going to beat us up again, God. That's like going to save the bully of the school. I'm not going to go save the bully. Let him fall. Let him get hurt. I'm not going to go to the bully. The bully? No. He bullies us around. If we save him, he's going to bully us again. The people had no clue if repentance would do any good. But the people repented from the first to the last. Notice verse 6. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. From the first to the last, the greatest of them even to the least. And notice what it says down in verse 7. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh, or through Nineveh, by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. So from the repentance came from the first to the last, but notice what he said in verse number 8. And cry mightily unto God. Let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Verse 9, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? If people don't know anything else about Almighty God, they know that he's a God that loves. They know that he's a God that forgives. They know that he's a God of mercy. They just had to take one look at Jonah and said, you were spared when you could have been digested by that whale. But your God spit you out. And your God spit you out to come to us. If that's the mercy of your God, if that's the God of second chances, then we want that God. And if it's our wickedness that we need to surrender, I'm going to proclaim it from the first to the last. I'm going to start at the king and the castle. And we're going to get right. I'm going to go to all those that's working for me. I want them to get right. And I want that to go out in a public decree that everybody's going to get right. If that is who you serve, that type of a God, the God that saved you and spared you to come to us when we have beat up on your nation time and time and time again. We have dominated your nation time and time again. And your God spat you out of the well because you rebelled. You didn't want to come. You had every right not to come to us because of what we did to you. And your God spat you out to come to us. If that's the God you serve, I want that God. And I'll do what it takes. Now, you've never given us any assurance that he would save us. But you know, it's worth a try. If he was merciful to you, he's merciful to me. Folks, when you and I get revived, that's what people will say. If your God saved you and your sin, there's hope for me. If God saved you and your wickedness, there's hope for me. Look at you and God saved you. There's hope. There's hope. There's hope. The people repented from the first to the last, and they said, cry mightily unto God. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? Turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not. Most folks in a tight spot will call on God and his mercy. The most vilest of people will call on God in a pinch when their life depends on it, whether they believe in him or not. They will call on him. Now, some are different, some may not, but the average person will. Notice lastly, not just the repentant, the people repented by fasting and sackcloth. The people repented from first to the last. Repentance by God, verse 10, and God saw their works. And by the way, we're not saved by our works, but our works justify our faith. We're not saved by works, but when I'm saved by grace and by faith, they should produce works. God saw their repentant heart. He saw that they truly had turned from their evil. God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented. So in other words, they were going this way towards evil. and they say we're going to fast and put on sackcloth and we're going to cry to God and see if he will have mercy, and we're going to turn from our sin, we're going to turn from our wickedness, because God said he's going to judge that, and we're going to turn to God and we're going to go in this direction. And God saw their turning. God saw their repentance. Hey, if you don't repent, you're going to perish. The Bible said, except you likewise repent, ye shall all likewise perish. They repented. They turned direction, and because they repented and turned direction, God repented as well. You say, was God fickle? No, God just did not do what God said he was going to do. God said, I was going to do this, but I'm not going to do that. I'll do this because of my mercy. Now you had a judgment on your head. I'm not going to do it. Parents, you know what it's like. You pronounce a judgment on your child, this is what's going to happen to you. And then you have mercy. You say, you know what? I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. The child produces a repentant spirit. And you can genuinely tell in the child's heart and their mind by their actions, they truly seem repentant. So I'm not going to do it. The repentance by God. God saw their work. God repented of the evil. Evil has a broad application. It doesn't mean sinful. It means adversity, affliction. So God repented of the affliction he was going to give them, the adversity he was going to give them, the calamity or the displeasure he was going to give them, the distress or the trouble he was going to give them. If God repented, it means that he did not do what he intended to do. It means that he gave them a sigh, a breath. He was sorry for them. He was having pity on them. He said, I'm not going to do what I said I'd do. By the way, if nobody understands that, Israel should. Hold your fingers there for a moment and go to Psalm 106. If nobody else understands that, Israel should. And by the way, if nobody else in your environment understands that, you should. Nobody else around you understands that God is merciful and God repents of what he's going to do to us sometimes. Then, I'm telling you, you got to understand that. Psalm 106. Psalm 106, notice verse 43. The Bible says this in Psalm 106, 43. Many times did he being God, deliver them. But they provoked him with their counsel and were bought low for their iniquity. Nevertheless, he regarded their affliction. He saw they were going through affliction when he heard their cry. Is that not what Nineveh did? Yes, it is. And notice this, verse 45. He remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. So in other words, God said, you know, Israel, I see the affliction that you're caused. That's caused on your life. I hear your cry. I remember my covenant. I'm going to repent. I'm not going to do what I said I'd do. I'm going to give you another chance. Nobody else understands that. God's people ought to. God's people. Hey, folks, when we get revived, we can go to people that we know that are in all sorts of sin. They could be shacking up. They could be two guys living together. They could be two girls living together. There could be a whole lot of fornication here and a whole lot of sin there, a whole lot of wickedness here. And when we are revived, we can go to them because we know God's been merciful to us. And they only do what they do because they're wicked, because they're sinners. And they need the grace of God to intervene and come down on their lives. The grace of God leads people to repentance. You and I got saved because we fell on God's mercy. We fell on God's grace. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You and I fell on God's mercy. We felt God didn't have to forgive us, but because of Jesus Christ, he did. They don't know if God's going to forgive them, but they said, let's give it a shot. Let's repent and see what God's going to do. By the way, there's not been any genuine person that has genuinely repented and come to God that God did not forgive. I said genuine because there is a foxhole repentance. And then when the death toll passes, we turn back. No, God's not interested in that. By the way, God is omnipotent, omnipresent, he knows. He knows who's got the foxhole religion, who's got the foxhole repentance. I turn just for a while until the storm is over. And once the storm is over, hey, go back to my wickedness. Yay, sin. No. God knows. Nineveh genuinely turned. By the way, just for the record, Nineveh did go back to their wicked ways. And for the record, Nineveh did get destroyed. But at this point in time, they were spared. They were spared. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, To us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Isaiah 1:18 put it this way, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they should be as wool. I don't know where you're at today, but I do know that God is a merciful God. He was merciful to Jonah. He was merciful to the Ninevites. He was merciful to me. I stand here as a living testimony that God didn't have to forgive me, but he did. You're talking to someone that was into sin and all sorts of wickedness. I'm a Ninevite. I'm a living Ninevite. The things that they did and were guilty of, the things in chapter 1 of Romans, I'm guilty of many of those things. But God in his mercy, when I repented, saved me. And genuine repentance, I turned and I said, God, there is no hope for me. You have every right to throw me in hell. Every right. I'm guilty. I'm convicted. I'm convinced. But I'm going to ask for your mercy and ask you to save me. And you know what he did? He saved me. He saved me. If you're here today, same thing happened to you. Same thing happened to you. Folks, when you and I get revived, we can touch other lives. But we've got to get revived. And people have got to see God's message on your life. That God loves them and God wants to save them. But there is danger. There is danger. There's a place called hell. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There is danger. But there is deliverance. God will save a repentant soul. Our job is to get thoroughly revived so that we can be the same type of messenger that Jonah was and get God's message and God's people to go and deliver them. Our makeup should be different. Our manner, our motive should be different. And you will see change in people. Now, if you're not saved today, if you're not born again today, you need to be saved. That's just the fact of the matter. 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown was his message. But you know what? The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So the rich man said, thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And who shall those things be? The Bible says, now is the accepted time of salvation. You don't have tomorrow promised. Are you a messenger of doom? No, I'm a messenger of reality. There's going to be a lot of people that will die tomorrow. And we are painfully recognized of that with just Gloria and how Gloria walked across a parking lot, got hit by a car and died. We're painfully close to that. It can just happen by an accident. But there are no accidents with God. They're just appointments. Why? It's appointed a man wants to die. And then the judgment. If you're not born again today, make today. Many people gave a testimony of being saved on certain days. Today, September 18th, 2016, can be your birthday, spiritually speaking. You can be like the Ninevites and turn and repent, and God will save. But you've got to see that you're in danger. Your life's going to be overthrown. And God's going to require your sin to be paid for. It's going to be paid by you or in Jesus Christ. One of the two. Christian, let's go out of here and evangelize, letting people know. Come back next week with somebody that God laid on your heart and bring them with you. Revived and going out, getting someone else, bringing them back. We've got to get outside of ourselves. We've got to stop thinking about us. Jonah, if anybody could have thought about his own woes, look at how I look. Look at how I smell. Look at what happened to me. He could have gone to town and said, somebody feel sorry for me. Somebody please. He didn't. He said, my first commitment is to obey God. I don't care how I look. I don't care how I smell. The message is 40 days. Stop thinking about us. Look at others. That's what Jonah had to do. Look at others. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Father, I pray you'd bless the next moments that we have in reflection for this invitation. Lord, help us to see the power of one that we can have. To revive, we can be just like Jonah. We can revive and we can be restored people. We can have some raw preaching. We can begin to convince people by, God, your message. We can also begin to convince them by our life. And Lord, we can see repentant people. And we can see them get right with thee. It's not us that gets them right, but it's your message and the Holy Spirit. Lord, work in this invitation time in Jesus' name. Amen. what heads bowed and eyes closed and looking around, how many would be honest before God and say, you know, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I am very concerned about it. I would like to know, but I am not absolutely 100% sure that if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me, Pastor, and anyone like that at all? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed and looking around. You'd raise your hand. I'm not 100% sure that heaven is my home, but I'm concerned about it. I say to you, friend, that Jesus Christ loves you, and he died for your sins. He was buried. He rose again the third day so that you can be saved. Anyone like that at all? Pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'm concerned. Next, Christian, how about you? My desire is that I might be revived so that I can reach someone else like Jonah did. I want to take God's message, and I want to be the vessel that he uses. Pray for me that I can be revived to do so. And you raise your hand. Pray for me, Pastor. I want to be revived. I want to be like Jonah. I want to give the message. I want to tell others. Pray for me. Amen. Hands going up all over the place. All of us, if we're honest, should have our hands up to give that message. If we're revival, you may put them down. Revival equates to you and I doing the will of God. And it's the will of God that we tell somebody. And we're revived. We'll tell. Because we know the danger. Jonah knew the danger, and he was willing to tell. Father, help these that raise their hands. Help those that are struggling in their own spirit as to the 40 days that they may have left. Lord, help them not to gamble with their lives, but to go with something that's sure, and that is the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses of all sin. And help that man, woman, boy, or girl to fall on your mercy and your grace. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to your mercy, you save us. Help us, Lord, to fall in your mercy today in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed when looking around. The power of one to revive. Will you be the one that God uses in someone else's life to revive them? As the music begins to play, I don't know what God has laid upon your heart, but I do know this. Next week is our anniversary. Is your heart in the right position? Do you have some people that you want to reach? Do you have some lives that you want to affect? Why don't you come down to an old-fashioned altar? Say, Lord, use me like you used Jonah in somebody's life. Maybe it's a co-worker. Maybe it's a brother. Maybe it's a sister. Maybe it's a husband, a wife. Why don't you come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, use me like you used Jonah. Lord, I don't want to have to go into Whale Seminary. I don't want to have to go into the belly. I just want to obey because I know it's right. I want to reach someone, but God, I don't want to go to the belly. I don't want to rebel. I don't want to run. I don't want to ruin someone else's life by what I've done. I just want to obey you. God, use me to reach someone for Jesus' sake. Oh, when God revives your heart, the things you can do, the things you can say, the places you can go, the people you can meet when you're surrendered to God. Jonah had some raw preaching. He was a restored prophet, which equaled repentant people. They say, we're going to see what this is all about, these 40 days. We're going to see if we cry mightily unto God. Who can tell if God will turn and repent? I told everyone his fierce anger, let's see what God will do. You know, when you and I do right by God, we're revived, we can win somebody to Christ. By the word of God, God's message, by the Holy Spirit of God, God's minister. How about it? Who can you bring back with you next week? Who can you begin working on this week and say, I'm going to them as Jonah went to the Ninevites. I'm going to that man. I'm going to that woman. I'm going to that boy. I'm going to that girl. I'm going to bring them with me next week. I'm going to convince them that this is what I need to be. Who can you get? Ask God to restore you and to revive you and to give you what you need to get them here. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a neighbor. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a family member. Jonah was revived. And Jonah arose and went. And Jonah preached. And Jonah said 40 days, Nineveh should be overthrown. And the people of Nineveh believed God. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil. He said, I'm not going to give you the affliction that I was going to give you. I'm not going to give you that adversity. I'm not going to give you that which I should give you, because I am love, but I'm also judgment. God, help us to stay revived. And when we're not revived, ask God to revive us again. That's why we sing the song, revive us again. Fill these hearts with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah. I'm the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, thank you for your goodness. Lord, thank you for these that came down to an old-fashioned altar. God, I pray that we might search our hearts today. Lord, we might remove anything that would bar our revival. Lord, we know revival is a moment-by-moment thing. One minute we're revived, and the next minute we're not. But God, help us to do our dead-level best to be right with thee. Lord, there are people that, in our opinion, are more wicked than the other person, or more wicked than the next. God, help us not to be judgmental in who we give out the gospel to, because such were some of us. Help us just give the gospel, letting them know 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. We would say, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And we would say, today is the acceptable day, and it's the acceptable time. Lord, help us today to leave here in the boldness of the Holy Spirit, knowing that our revival can get someone else saved when they repent of their sins and turn to Almighty God. Help man, woman, boy or girl not to leave this auditorium, this church today, until they get revived, until they're repentant, whatever the case may be, and get right with thee. Lord, we want to turn the world upside down for Jesus' sake, that it may be turned right side up by the power of God. Thank you for meeting with us today. Lord, help those that are ill today, that are down. Give us traveling grace. Lord, bring the membership back tonight for our communion service. And I pray that through it all, you might receive all praise, all glory, and all honor. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor White.